This is the Ipsy SDA Media Network.
I started this year with a promise, and that promise is to lead us into discovering God or rediscovering God. And consequently, I will be bringing messages from passages of Scripture that we're not accustomed hearing sermons from. Today, I want to talk about kidnapped virgins. And there are 3 points I'll be hoping to make today that we can make this message relevant to us. I do believe that all of God's Word can teach us. And as I've been preparing these messages, it has been difficult really getting from my usual research source or sources. Because when it comes to particularly the book of Judges, there is hardly any commentary after chapter 16. Today we'll be dealing with the last chapter in Judges 21. But let's go back to Judges 20. Here we have verse 4 to 6 telling us what had happened to the Benjamites. You would recall that we had a situation whereby a Levite was spending the night in Gibeah, a town of the Benjamites, and his wife was gang raped. She was not the choice of the men who came knocking on the door, but this Levite pushed his wife outside and said, "You go out." And the next morning, to continue his journey to his home, he found his wife. She wasn't moving. He picked her up, put her on his donkey, and then when he got to where he was going, he cut her up in 12 pieces, each limb to represent a tribe of Israel. And as a result, the 11 tribes came together and they brought us to a place. It says the total of the Benjamites killed that day came to 25 divisions or 25,000 of infantry, their best swordsmen. 600 men got away. They made it to Ramon Rock in the wilderness and held out there for 4 months. Then the men of Israel went back to Benjamin and put all the towns to the sword, including the animals and everything else they found. All the towns they came across, they set on fire. Now we come to Judges 21. Father in heaven, I ask now in this moment that you will still my thoughts and allow me to share this word in just the way you want it presented. This we ask in Jesus' name, amen. They had killed the Benjamites. Some got away and fled to the rock, Ramon. We are told 600 of them got away. They escaped. And then we see these same Israelites coming together at Bethel, and they sat before God until evening, raising their voices and weeping bitterly. get the picture. They killed the Benjamites. Then they got together and they recognized, Houston, we got a problem. These men are dead, and we killed the women, the children, the animals. We killed everybody. And then they have the audacity. Read with me. Lord, God of Israel, they cried. Why has this happened to Israel? Why should one tribe be missing from Israel today? Really? You kill them. And then you come into God weeping and asking God, why is Benjamin missing today? And you recognize that there is a problem because the 600 men who fled to Ramon, you want somehow to get to them and apologize for what you did. But you recognize that they would have no wives. And you ask yourself the question, how can we provide wives for those who are left, since we have taken an oath by the Lord not to give them any of our daughters in marriage? And we are told in Judges 21:15, the people grieved for Benjamin because the Lord had made a gap in the tribes of Israel. Hold a minute right there. Point number one. It was not God who made the gap. It was not God who created the problem. If you remember, a few men in the town of Gibeah, controlled by Benjamin, the tribe, gang raped a Levite's wife. It was not the entire tribe of Benjamin, but they so wanted to appease this Levite and for the pain, the indignity he suffered because his wife was gang raped. They decided in haste, they're going to wipe out the Benjamites. And now they're saying the Lord had made a gap in the tribe of Israel. Point number one. Sometimes we blame others for the problems we create. Sometimes we blame others for the problems we create. And listen to why they said they had a problem. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Everyone with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. Hold a minute. Get the picture. Moses in Exodus 28, verse 21, which we just read, everyone with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. Here we have a painting depicting Samuel, little Samuel, with Eli, the high priest. And you notice the priest is wearing what they call a linen ephod. And on that chest plate of the ephod, you have 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. This is what God said to Moses. And these Israelites decided that they are going to wipe out the tribe of Benjamin. And when they were through with what they did, they came to God and said, God, what happened? You caused a gap in the tribe of Benjamin. Now today, having a breastplate with 12 stones is even fashionable. You can go to Amazon, and here's a brother entitled The Chosen One. And people buy this and wear it. But if the 11 tribes had their way, the tribe of Benjamin would have been wiped out. And sometimes when we engage in wrongdoing, we do that which is of our own making, then we turn around and we want to blame others for what we created here. They're blaming God. And they have a problem. They killed the Benjamites. They wiped out the women, the men, the children. They killed everybody. And 600 men escaped to the Rock of Ramon. And they want to bring them back in the fall. But you see, they got together, and in their haste and anger, they said that as a result of this gang rape, we will never give any of our daughters to Benjamite. Houston, we got a problem. We have 600 of them left. And we now recognize that that linen ephod has to have the tribe of Benjamin. Well, these 600 men will need wives. What are we to do? So they decided to hatch another plan. Remember, the first plan is a few men did something wrong and they tried to wipe out a whole tribe. You will think that we learn from our mistakes. Oh no, they decided on another plan. And so when they got together and they recognized that these 600 men had nobody, they said, here is another plan. This is what you are to do, they said. Kill every male and every woman who is not a virgin. They found among the people living in Jabesh Gilead 400 young women who had never slept with a man. And they took them to the camp of Shiloh in Canaan. Then the whole assembly sent an offer of peace to the Benjamites of the Rock of Ramon. 400, but there are 600 men. You are 200 short. What are we going to do? So the Benjamites returned at that time and were given the women of Jabesh Gilead who had been spared, but there were not enough for all of them. Sometimes we blame others for the problems we create. Point number two, be careful of the solution you seek to solve your problem. You may be repeating the same mistake. Be careful of the solution you seek to solve your problem. You may be repeating the same mistake. When they got together, they asked, who is missing? And Angie read so well, they said, the men from Jabesh Gilead are missing. And what did they do? They got their swords again. They did the same thing, and they decided to attack the men of Jabesh Gilead, and they killed them. They murdered the men. They murdered the wives and the cattle. They did the same thing all over again. And then we go to Judges 21:11. This is what you are to do, they said. Kill every male and every woman who is not a virgin. Can you imagine? They did this to the Benjamites. And now they're going to do it to the people of Jabesh Gilead, by the way, who were from the tribe of Gad. They decided, we have to solve our problem, and so we will go and find some women. so we can give. But when we found there were not enough for everybody, and the elders of the assembly said, with the women of Benjamin destroyed, how shall we provide wives for the men who are left? The Benjamite survivors must have heirs, they said, so that a tribe of Israel would not be wiped out. So we're going to do something. We can't give them our daughters as wives, since we Israelites have taken this oath, cursed be anyone who gives a wife to Benjamite. Be careful when you make oaths that God didn't tell you to make. God said that on the linen ephod, you will have 12 stones, and each stone will represent a tribe of Israel. Benjamin, you wanted to wipe out. And so here they came with another plan. And the plan says, let's get to Jabesh Gilead. And those who did not come to our meeting, we're going to kill them and we're going to take the women. And here's what it says. Here's what we're going to do. It's amazing how they did wrong the first time. And these same people got together with another plan, not of God's making. Do we do the same thing? Do we make the same mistake? We got a similar problem. Do we attempt to solve it in a similar way? Verse 19. But look, there is the annual festival of the Lord in Shiloh, which lies north of Bethel, east of the road that goes from Bethel to Shechem, and south of Lebanon. So they instructed the Benjamites, saying, go and hide in the vineyards and watch. These 600 men, they first got 400 for them. Now they said, here's how you're going to get the other 200. You go and you watch these dancers. Let me do a little teaching now. This particular festival was where the virgin young women would dance modestly, saying that they were available, not to be kidnapped. But this was Israel's way of having a daughter and saying, my daughter is ready for marriage. And so they sent the Benjamites. They said, there is this festival. This is what they do. So you go and you look at these young girls dancing. And when the young women of Shiloh come out to join in the dancing, rush from the vineyards, and each of you seize one of them to be your wife. Kidnapped virgins. Do you think God was in that? Let's not get it twisted. This is not God in operation, but these are church folk. These are not street people. These are not ungodly people. These are church leaders arranging for women, young girls to be kidnapped. Rush from the vineyards, and each of you seize one of them to be your wife. Houston, the problem is solved. We gave you 400. Now you go and find these young women, and each got a wife. Then return to the land of Benjamin. When their fathers or brothers complain to us, we will say to them, do us the favor of helping them, because we did not get wives for them during the war. In other words, when the fathers of these daughters come to us, we will simply appease them by telling them, it was our fault these guys didn't get wives, so let your daughter go. Again, what are we saying about our women? You will not be guilty of breaking your oath because you did not give your daughters to them. What a way to circumvent. Isn't that what we do? It's like we will behave, we're going to make sure the laws of the Medes and Persians are followed. we are going to follow the law because you know what? They kidnapped your daughters. You did not give your daughters, so you don't have to worry that you broke your oath. We find a way around God's law, don't we? You didn't give them, they kidnapped them. So that is what the Benjamites did. While the young women were dancing, each man caught one and carried her off to be his wife. I want you to stop for a moment and think of something that happened in Nigeria. You remember a group called Boko Haram. How they kidnapped over 300 girls and took them to be their wives. Some were returned after some negotiation. But I wonder where they got the idea from that you can kidnap and make them your wives. Here is what they did. Let me ask you the question. If this were your daughter, what would you be feeling? What would you be thinking? What would you be doing? Rush from where you're hiding and each take one to be your wife. Then they returned to their inheritance and rebuilt the towns and settled them. At that time, the Israelites left that place and went home to their tribes and clans, each to his own inheritance. Deed done. Kidnapped virgins, deed done. Sometimes we blame others for the problems we create, but we need to be careful of the solution we seek to solve our problems. We may be repeating the same mistake all over again. And here is something I want us to stop and take note of. In those days, verse 25 says, the book of Judges ends at verse 25. Our scripture reading was from 1 to 24, but here is verse 25. Read with me. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. The King James Version said, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. In those days, Israel had no king. All the nations around had kings. And Israel was asking for a king. And God was reluctant. But God eventually relented. Israel was led by a theocracy. You had Moses. You had Joshua. You had people leading Israel, the prophets, and they listened. But now they said, Samuel, you're good. Eli, you were good. But we don't have a king. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. Here is my third point. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 18 through 21. Read with me what it says. Take your time, because this is important. Saul came up to Samuel in the street and said, pardon me, but can you tell me where the seer lives? I'm the seer, or the prophet, said Samuel. Accompany me to the shrine and eat with me. In the morning, I'll tell you all about what's on your mind and send you on your way. Saul was out looking for his father's donkeys. He had lost them, couldn't find them. And God, in his providence, had prepared Samuel to respond to Israel's need for a king. And God had chosen Saul. God had chosen Saul. Let me say that again. God had chosen Saul. But I want you to read this with me. And by the way, your lost donkeys, the ones you've been hunting for the last 3 days, have been found. So don't worry about them. At this moment, Israel's future is in your hands. Why is this important? Listen to what Saul says to Samuel when he hears Israel's future is in his hands. Samuel is God's mouthpiece. This is coming from God. Did you get it? Here is Mr. Saul responding. Read what it says. Saul answered, "But I'm only a," what everybody? "A Benjamite from the smallest of Israel's tribes and from the most," what everybody? "Insignificant clan in the tribe at that. Why are you talking to me like this? Why are you talking to me like this?" My third point is, some may try to destroy you, but God's not done with you yet. He still has a work for you to do. The smallest of the tribes, Israel tried to wipe them out. And here, Israel is going to get its first king from that tribe that was slaughtered by Israel. How ironic. Can't you see it? Sometimes we blame others for the problems we create. We need to be careful of the solution we seek to solve our problems, for we may be repeating the same mistake. They killed the Benjamites. They killed the men of Jabesh Gilead. And here we find, inasmuch as they tried to destroy the tribe of Benjamin, Israel's first king came from that tribe. I said, to God be the glory. Some may try to destroy you, but God, I said, God is not done with you yet. He still has a work for you to do. The linen ephod, 12 stones, and had Israel gotten its way, Benjamin would have been removed from that ephod. They made a mistake once, and they made the mistake again. What they did to the tribe of Benjamin, they did to Jabesh Gilead, the men of Jabesh Gilead. I want you to pick up now this very important story in 1 Chronicles chapter 10. Here's what it says. When all the Israelites in the valley saw that the army had fled and that Saul and his sons had died, they abandoned their towns and fled. And the Philistines came and occupied them. Saul was in battle. Unfortunately, Saul did not live up to the potential God saw in him. He ended up losing favor with God. He started well. It says the Spirit of God was upon him. after he was anointed and chosen to lead Israel, but things got to his head. He was preoccupied with David possibly taking the throne. He didn't want that. He tried to kill David. He ended up at a witch deviation. He ended up seeking out counsel from someone God had said you should not have. And then he went into battle and he died. Not a glorious death. Not a glorious death. The next day, and I want you to read these words with me very carefully. The next day, when the Philistines came to strip the dead, they found Saul and his sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. They stripped him, took his head and his armor, and sent messengers throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim the news among their idols and their people. Get the picture. They have Saul's head. You remember a Levite sent body parts to the 12 tribes? Here the Philistines have Saul's head, and they put it among their idols. They put his armor in the temple of their gods and hung his head in the temple of Dagon. That's their god. When all the inhabitants of what, everybody? Say these words with me. When all the inhabitants of what? Jabesh Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all their valiant men went and took the bodies of Saul and his sons and brought them to Jabesh. Brought them to Jabesh. Some may try to destroy you, but God is not done with you yet. He still has a work for you to do. And they brought them to Jabesh. Jabesh Gilead. Small little town. Then they buried their bones under the great tree in Jabesh, and they fasted 7 days. God, I thank you that even though Israel tried to kill all the men of Jabesh Gilead, that you intervened, and even though your son Saul died in shame, you did not allow his body to be left hanging at Bethshan for the world and the Philistines to proclaim, look what we did to your king. It was the men of Jabesh Gilead who came and took the body, and the Bible says they buried their bones. They gave them a decent burial. Jabesh Gilead and the Benjamites were castaways. Are you a castaway? Here is what God says to us this morning. Sometimes we blame others for the problems we create. Nobody told them to go and kill out the entire tribe of Benjamin because of the rape by a few men. We need to stop blaming others for things we do to ourselves. We need to be careful of the solution we seek to solve our problems, for we may be repeating the same mistake. These same men, after they tried to wipe out the tribe of Benjamin, and they found out there were 600 left, and they had to have wives, and then they had another meeting at Mizpah, and the men of Jabesh Gilead did not come because they were friends of the Benjamites, and they were upset that their brothers were killed. You decided that you're going to do the same thing to them. Didn't learn from your mistake. But I thank God that even though some may try to destroy you, that he is not done with you yet. He still has a work for you to do. Here's what gives me peace this morning. It was the Benjamites, that little tribe, that gave Israel its first king. Somewhere I read that the stone that the builder rejects can become the head or the chief cornerstone. Benjamin, you're nothing. But God says, yes, I have chosen. He laid hands on Saul. And even though Saul did not live up to what God wanted, Israel's first king came from the tribe of Benjamin. Let them throw you away. And then when Saul met his death, it was the men of Jabesh Gilead who said, we're going to take this body down and bury it. We're not going to let the Philistines gloat over God's fallen soldier. Kidnap virgins. These men were not right. Let me be very clear about that. God did not sanction the kidnapping of these young women. He did not sanction it. But just like us, God can take something bad and bring good out of it. As a result of these 600 men, the tribe of Benjamin lives. May God help us not to blame others for the problems we create. And if we create a problem, may God help us to learn from our mistakes and not seek a solution just like the first one that was wrong to begin with. And last but not least, remember, you may be insignificant in the eyes of some. Some may have tried to wipe you out if you're from Jabesh Gilead. But God still has a work for you to do. May God help us to remember that He is not done with us yet. Father in heaven, we thank you today that even within this story with so much bloodshed and darkness, so many wrongs being done, yet you're telling us there are things we can learn from this experience. Help us not to meet in haste and make oaths. Help us to be sure to consult with you when we make decisions. Sometimes we are angry to the point where the thing we find as a solution is not to your pleasing or liking. Remind us that even though some may cast us aside, you're not done with us yet. It was from the tribe of Benjamin you brought the first king to Israel. You reminded us today that it was the men of Jabesh Gilead who were wiped out that you were able to rescue the body of Saul and his sons and to give them a decent burial. May we trust you, Father, even as we seek to discover more about you. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Let the church say, amen.